much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
I don't know, but let the record show you will not see the groundhog Punxsutawney Phil on this program tonight. However, he did see his shadow too in Pennsylvania, and that means 6 more weeks of winter.
Okay.
So there.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Groundhog Day! Groundhog Day! Ooh, Groundhog Day! Winter predictions are gonna happen. Punxsutawney
Phil.
Groundhog Day! Outside my window. Tree. We wait for Punxsutawney
Phil.
Is it his shadow that he will see? And it's Groundhog Day outside my window plane.
And now,
Omar, don't sing anymore, please, for the love of Christ. You sing so bad, I feel like I just caught an STD. My d*** hurts right now. I can't do it anymore, Omar. I can't do it.
Our feature presentation.
I would prefer an STD, to be honest.
My favorite part, God bless Omar, is Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah. Yeah. He does so many of those, though. You can imagine his brain just turns to mush after a while.
Yes. He's the best.
So much worse than I remember.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I was pretty excited, and then I heard
well,
it.
Well, Lisa, it's like every once in a while, you need to come face-to-face with the horrors of war to know why it's so important to avoid it, right? It's the same sort of thing with Omar singing. So, all right, welcome, party people, to a Kevin and Bean Show. Obviously, it's the 2nd of February, Ola. Here's an interesting story, and I can't believe it's been so long since Moby was popular that there may be people who don't know who he is, but for a time, for 4 or 5 years, very, very popular artist, sold millions of albums, electronic dance music artist, DJ, but makes great sound collage records.
He's back in the news. Kind of a goofy little bald guy.
Yes.
Yeah, goofy little bald vegan guy. And he's got a place in New York. He also has a place in Southern California, and he had a visitor the other morning when he woke up. And I'm going to read to you from Moby's blog, and I want to get your impression on what this encounter is like. This morning I woke up and there was a complete stranger sitting in my living room. His name was Robbie. Now, right there, you got yourself a party, right?
Sure.
And by the way, this might be a phone topic we haven't done yet, which is you found somebody in your house. Because you see stories like this all the time where people, you know, people come to the wrong house and fall asleep on a couch or something,
right? Asleep and you go, who are you?
I woke up at 7 a.m. I walked into my living room. I froze. There's someone standing next to my couch. Now he's going to recount the conversation. Who are you? Says Moby. Him. Robbie. Moby. What are you doing here? Him. I'm here.
What?
Moby, I think you should probably leave. Him, okay. Then he sat down. Moby, I think you should leave. Him, okay. Continue sitting. Moby, is everything okay? And here's where it gets freaky. Him, I might still be on acid, is what the man says. So I gave him my sweatshirt, it's chilly up here in the hills, and some money for breakfast, and I sent him on his way. Apparently he had taken a lot of acid the night before, had seen my house from the street, and decided to pay an acid-inspired visit. I guess he and I are both lucky. He's lucky that I don't have guns, and that I didn't call the police, and that I gave him some breakfast money. And I'm lucky that he wasn't a violent, crazy person, and that he didn't stab me in my sleep.
Yeah.
I've also decided that locking my doors might be a good thing. I know. Who doesn't lock their doors? Well, I don't, or didn't. I mean, my neighbors these days are coyotes and frogs. I just kind of assumed that a closed door was a good enough deterrent for a coyote or a frog. But I guess I'll err on the side of security and actually start locking my doors at night from now on.
Where does he live?
Let me see. It says here earlier. He lives in near Griffith Park, in the wilds of Griffith Park.
Los Angeles, okay.
Is where he lives. Yeah, Southern California. I hope Robbie's okay. He seems a bit lost, though. I guess doing a ton of acid and wandering around Griffith Park in the middle of the night might be disorienting. I'm glad he didn't get eaten by coyotes or mountain lions. How was your weekend? Did you have any strangers on acid in your living room when you woke up? Moby.
Wow. He's much nicer than I think I would have been. You know what I mean? Like...
Once you found out that this was just some dude on acid.
But I don't know that I would have, because I would say, you need to leave, and he would say, okay, and sit down.
Yeah.
At that point, I go, okay, I might be in trouble.
You're in fight mode?
I'm ready. I'm ready to throw down.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah. Kevin generally gets in fight mode about 10 seconds into any interaction. You know that, Lisa.
No, how dare you? But if they're in your house, especially if I have kids.
Yeah.
So hey, I don't blame you for being frightened and not, you know, knowing what's going to happen. I don't think most of us would give him a sweatshirt and breakfast money.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Set him on his way.
See, I was going to say, Moby doesn't even have a wife. That, too, that changes everything. Like,
yeah.
If you're,
there's
like,
no
the,
one to protect
the
but
kind
him.
Of the male figure, and there's another strange male in your house. Yeah. I think Kevin's in the right and automatically going into, well, I got to protect.
Right.
Whatever.
Or call 911 or something right away.
Yeah.
Plus, if you're Moby, it has to cross your mind that maybe you've been targeted. Maybe somebody thinks you're rich, you know.
Yeah.
Which he may well be. I don't know. I mean, I think you also have that extra layer of fear. But it is interesting. And there are people, and I know you used to mock me about this, who don't lock their doors.
Oh,
their house.
I know.
I didn't have a house key for my house for about the first 7 or 8 years that I lived here. In Washington. You didn't know where it was.
But Bean lives in Seattle, and he kind of lives in a...
On an island, yeah.
On an island. Yeah,
on acreage, right.
Yeah. So really, there's not much chance.
Well, I mean, until it happens. I mean, obviously, there's crime everywhere. You know, there's bad guys everywhere. But it's just something I got in the habit of doing, which is just never locking my doors. It was just, you know...
And
it
saves you
2 seconds of an interaction.
So
sure.
Busy. And you're in the mass murder capital of the world, so there's
yes.
that.
Saves you that 2 seconds, he just said.
Never locked my door. Yeah. What's yeah. it, like an hour now? After all this time, you saved yourself an hour?
All this time.
And like Anderson Silva, though, Bean can take care of himself.
Well, that's
I mean?
The other thing.
The guy
that's
comes the in
thing.
And he does not know who he's messing with.
Right. I mean, obviously, so. When you've got the Fists of Fury, you don't worry about anything.
But wait a minute. Don't you live next to a youth hostel?
It's several hundred yards away, but it's not the type of thing that somebody would automatically walk out of the youth hostel and see my property or something like that. I mean, you got to go around, you know, around a road to
yeah.
get there.
Well, that's tough.
you'll be fine until
you can't see my house from any road.
To everybody else, going around a road seems like an everyday thing. To Bean, it sounds like he's never done it in his life.
No, what I'm saying
more
is
work than putting in a key.
Yeah,
what I'm saying is you can't see my house from any road. It's a right. very long driveway that you'd have to walk down. And what are the chances somebody's going to do that not knowing what's on the other
I'm
side?
I'm saying it's a youth hostel, and there's probably a lot of drinking.
Well, that's, so, yeah. that's possible.
They may show up thinking that's the youth hostel.
Well, I
can come in and lay down with you and your dogs or your wife or whoever you're sleeping with that night.
So Moby's okay. That's the important part here. But interesting story, right?
And a better guy than we are.
Yeah.
Apparently so. Yeah.
Tell you that. So, dude, you want some breakfast? All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
You are an unstoppable good idea machine.
Thank you. Thank you very much. On today's program, we have the co-directors of Restrepo. Which is it's kind of a small documentary movie that you may not have heard of, which is really great. It's about the war in Afghanistan, and it follows some of the soldiers that are there. And it's an amazing movie, and we have Sebastian Younger and Tim Hetherington on the program today to talk about that. You messed with people's food. We have to do this
Mike.
Every once in a while. You know, we really do. It's a public service, because don't be mean to waiters and waitresses. Don't be mean to cooks, because they can retaliate. And when they retaliate, it can be nasty.
Yeah. You don't want to know what's going on.
You don't. And you want to make sure that you're not making them angry, because making them angry could bring this on. So we're going to talk about that today as well. We have a new Tosh.0 video to turn you on to. One that we discovered a year ago, but Tosh got into much more detail. And it's very funny. We have that. We have This Week in Rage with Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Going to talk about prop bets for the Super Bowl. We have an internet roundup. How about that? And we have your tickets for the Big Four. So that's all this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, party people. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. By the way, Ralph, I thought of you yesterday.
Nope.
I think that's the part of the story you can disagree with.
I'm sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
When I went to the new website, Yellow Pages Opt Out, and entered in my addresses so that I have no more phone books
that's
coming
right.
my way.
That's
Thank you very
right.
much. I was very excited. I know that was a pet cause of yours last year, and you got a lot of support. You rallied a lot of people around going, hey, all I do with the phone book is drag it in from the street and then wait until I recycle it, you know, a year later.
Put it in the trash.
Never open it.
It's a waste of paper.
Ralph also started an Impede the Beeb campaign. How's that going with you, Bean?
I'm coming around with the Beebs.
I wasn't on board
with
that one, I guess.
Check my iPod. It's loaded with Beeb music.
But my point is, I just wanted to say, Ralph, that you campaigned very heavily about, hey, how about letting us opt out of the Yellow Pages, and now it's the reality, and I think you deserve some of the credit.
Some of the credit. I single-handedly took down the Yellow Pages company.
That's right.
Let that be a warning to some of you companies out there. You might want to be nicer to me. That's all I'm saying. You can go the way of the Yellow Pages. I can make it happen like this.
Exxon, you get tired of Exxon? Boom, gone.
You better bring me some gas, Exxon. That's all I'm saying. You better start playing nice. Bring me a tanker.
Look at Impede the Beeb. He's gone.
That's right. Look at Beeb. Oh, man.
All right. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat. Now, what's going on?
Good news and bad news for me. I don't know if you guys are watching Chuck over there on NBC or not. One of my favorite shows. Sarah Lancaster, who plays Chuck's gorgeous sister, Ellie, on that show. Good news for her. She has tied the knot with Matthew Jacobs in a small ceremony last weekend. And got a jump on the wedding night fun, apparently, because the newlyweds are expecting their first child already.
Wow.
And are said to be thrilled to be starting a family. So that's great news for Sarah and Matthew.
Right.
Bad news for me, because Sarah Lancaster was number one on my list to play Wonder Woman in the Wonder Woman TV series.
Ah.
I thought she'd be a perfect choice, but now she's going to be all pregnant and whatnot.
Which
means no spandex, star-spangled shorts and bustier for her. No lasso of truth for her. Yeah. It'll be the umbilical cord of truth for her. That's all she's got. So she won't be playing Wonder Woman, I guess, but I really thought she would have been a good choice.
When you're running things, hot chicks are not going to be allowed to carry their own children, right?
No, we will raise homely breeders, as I like to call them, on a ranch. They will be, chubby, homely women who have, a lot of body fat so they can, feed the kids.
Can't tell when they're pregnant.
You can't. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
And they're
sort
of homely. And they'll be good breeding stock. And then the beautiful people will use them as human incubators.
I saw the homely breeders last night.
Did
They're
you?
Very good.
Where'd
very
you see
good.
Them? Where?
At Troop.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I don't see anyone going to have any problem with your plan, because that also gives the homely breeders a reason to be on the earth.
There you go. It's a win-win.
Right.
You guys are on fire already.
As you take the genetic makeup of the hot people and put them in the homely breeders,
year after year,
aren't there going to be less and less homely breeders? Because no one's going to be pumping the
They don't have to exclusively get pregnant by the artificial insemination of the beautiful people. They can go off and hump, too, if they want. I'm not an animal. I'm not a dictator here. They can certainly breed amongst their own homely selves.
Oh, you would be a dictator.
And, that's fine, but, they have to leave some space there for the beautiful babies.
Right. The ones whose uteri are not busy with their own babies, they're the ones who carry Cindy Crawford's baby or whoever, right?
Right. And
I gotcha.
And some broads are get better at it the more they do it. I have friends who used a surrogate, and this woman has been a surrogate like 5 times and has 2 kids of her own.
Wow.
So she loves really, being pregnant. Really good at being pregnant and giving birth to babies. So, that's a skill.
About that.
I said, let's cultivate those skills. And the skills of people like Megan Fox are just to, look good and be quiet.
Lisa, what do you think about our new plan?
I think it's awesome.
Lisa's on board.
It's not demeaning to women, and that's my favorite part.
Me too. It's a gift.
That's a gift
to society.
It's a gift to society.
It is a win-win. You're absolutely right. There's no downside to our plan. Except for the fact that they all have to live on ranches.
Would those people get a chance to live out there in the country on a ranch otherwise?
That's a good point, too.
No.
You've thought of everything.
That's what I say. They're in beautiful surroundings. They're out there in nature. We'll feed them the highest quality of grain in troughs in their pens. We'll get those giant water bottles that gerbils use. They lick the ball at the end and the water comes out. All their needs will be taken care of.
You put some thought into this.
This will be cost-free maintenance for the rest of their lives.
Wow.
It's like just a vacation.
That's exactly what it is. It's like being at a dude ranch.
You put a salt lake out
only
there?
It involves fetuses.
And what happens when these women get to the age where they can't have babies anymore?
Well, they will...
No,
I have a plan for them.
All right.
Look, Mike, it takes a village
to
raise a child. And the experiences that these women have, they'll be able to impart advice and birthing skills and motherly skills to these younger women who are coming up. So they will be sort of the elders. Yeah, the spokesman of the
group. See, Mike was going to snuff him.
Yeah, Mike was going to take him out.
He was hoping. I could tell right there.
He was hoping for that answer,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, yeah, like Soylent Green or something.
No, that's not my...
But look, no, Mike.
Once again, I am not a mean person. I want them to be happy.
Okay.
He's
incredibly generous.
Right, in their forced field of endeavor. All right, let's move on, shall we? Corey Feldman is ticked off.
Uh-oh.
Is he still alive?
He is. He's Corey Aim was the one who passed.
Oh,
Corey
man.
Feldman is alive. For now. He's ticked off at the Screen Actors Guild. I don't know if you watched Sunday night or not, but they did the In Memoriam segment where they say goodbye to all of our beloved actors who have passed away over the past
year. I'm always fascinated by how that conversation must go and how you leave some people out.
Corey's buddy, Corey Haim, was apparently left out of the segment.
Uh-oh.
And he is cheesed off.
Yeah.
Now, the producers of the show say they had two versions ready to go. One was simply shorter than the others, depending on time constraints. If they were running long, they were going to run the shorter version, and that's the one they ended up running. So a few people hit the cutting room floor, and Corey Haim was amongst them. But Corey isn't buying it. He says, oh, you know what? We're used to not being honored by our peers. Well, then it shouldn't be a problem, Corey. That's what I'm thinking.
What do you deserve to be honored by your peers for?
Drive my car? Hello? No. Wow. License to drive? Yes.
Wow.
The Lost Boys? Come on, Kevin.
30 years ago?
Look, there were people on that list that had done less. Trust me. Yeah. I just think everybody had an ass full of Corey Haim, quite frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he certainly was a recognizable enough star to make the montage.
Corey Feldman says he hopes the people at the Oscars won't make the same mistake. I wouldn't tune in if I were you, Corey, because you're just building yourself up for a big disappointment.
I saw an ass full of Corey Haim last night, too.
Did you? Yeah, where did you see them?
They followed. Oh, it's the Troop.
No, Troop's got a good lineup this week. Mm-hmm. Kelsey Grammer needs a divorce stat.
Uh-oh.
Here's the thing. I don't understand what Kelsey Grammer's compulsion is that he must be married at all times, but he's already planned his wedding. This is new girl, Kate Walsh.
This would be his fourth wedding.
The affair is set for February the 25th at the Plaza Hotel in New York City. It's booked. It's done. The caterers have been written checks. Flowers have been ordered. It's good to go.
Okay. That's less than a month from now.
Less than a month from now. Here's the thing. He's still married.
But it takes 6 months or something to get divorced.
I'm not sure how they're going to work it out. Plus, his current bride, Camille, is dragging her feet regarding the divorce papers, because she's not happy with the financial negotiations that have happened regarding the divorce. So she's not signing anything. So what's this guy thinking? What, and why? What is the
married.
Rush?
Must get married now.
Does he have an aneurysm we don't know about that set the blow, and he wants to make sure that he dies a happy man married?
I will say, Kelsey Grammer's an addict, and he's in recovery and stuff, and a lot of times, it's very common that guys who are addicts are very smart or talented, but also super-duper insecure. And maybe he just needs a woman in his life to, like,
feel
valid.
Well, he's got her. She's in his life.
Yeah. I know, I'm just saying that's
the problem. Why does he have to get married in the next month? I say, all right, maybe you're crazy and you're rushing things. You push it for April. You know, you're insisting on by June. But why would you set yourself up to put yourself behind the eight ball like this when you have a date that's less than a month away?
I think that's how the best marriages start, is really quickly.
It's really under the gun?
Under the
with
gun.
With a lot of pressure?
While you're still married.
I think you're absolutely right.
It's the key to success.
I wonder if what's going to happen is they'll go through with it, because it's a $100,000 ceremony, by the way. And it'll just be ceremonial, and then they'll just do the private paperwork later when he can legally wed.
Well, that takes a certain amount of luster off the day, doesn't it? When it doesn't mean anything. At the end of the day, you're still not married after the wedding? Doesn't that kind of...
I'm not going when I don't get my invitation.
Kelsey may be an addict, but I think he might as well face it. He's addicted to love. That's what I think he is. Thank you. Thank you, Psycho Mike. I appreciate that.
File.
Don't file under your breath. I heard file. That. I heard it.
File.
Kesha. Uh-oh. The file police.
I didn't realize it was a sound in that setting.
Sounded good. Made no sense. It sounded good. Kesha is a big fat bag of wind, right?
She's a
big fat liar who's constantly trying to pump up her cred by making up stories. Remember when she said she had no idea who her father was? And her dad was like, yeah, I raised her until she was like 19 when she left the house, so I'm not quite sure
Hello,
where this is coming from.
Part of her life her whole time.
Yeah. Kesha now says that her mom Left her at home when she was 14 with a credit card, a box of condoms, and keys to the car.
No. Yeah, that happened.
That's what happened.
Yep.
Her mom simply said, don't get pregnant, don't drink and drive, and walked out the door. And that was it. She was just left behind at 14 to be raised by wolves.
Did she put an invitation out, like on posts around the neighborhood, free sex?
She didn't, no.
Come on now.
Her mom abandoned her at 14, man.
Look, she could have left, but she didn't leave her with condoms.
She left her with a credit card, condoms, and keys to the car, man.
That's
all
true.
She got.
That's a lie.
Some Jack Daniels to brush your teeth with in the morning. Yeah. She's a wild child.
She is crazy.
Wild child. And good news for Mike. There are rumors going around that Mark Consuelos is going to step in to be the new co-host of Live with Kelly Ripa. Take the place of Regis Philbin when he goes.
Why is that good news for Mike?
Well, here's the thing. Kelly Ripa said to In Touch magazine, Mark wants the job, but she's not sure about him taking it. She's afraid that too much togetherness, living and working together, may cause problems in the relationship.
I can see that. If they're angry at each other, you know, and then the cameras start rolling.
You wake up in the morning, you have a little tiff, and then you have to be on the set all day long. Yeah. You don't get that important separation time where you've got to cool down and cooler heads prevail. So she's concerned that too much together, this may be a problem in the relationship. So Mark wants the gig. Kelly's not sure if she wants Mark to have the gig. What do you do when you don't when you want Mark but you don't want Mark?
A substitute?
You get Mark
Light.
That's
right.
That's right.
He prefers Mark 2.0.
I know he does, but it's Mark Light. That's really what it is. You get subpar Mike. You get damaged Mike.
Flimsy
Consuelos. That's what you get. It's a perfect solution. So, just saying.
Ralph, I don't know if you watched Mike's performance on the Regis show.
I did
last
not.
Friday.
I meant to TiVo it, and then I did not.
Kelly, I mean, it was a little bit uncomfortable how into Mike she was. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm yucking it up for the TV. I mean, she loved him.
Isn't it uncomfortable when any woman is into Mike? I know it is for me. It's hard to watch.
Yeah,
because she's setting herself up for a big, big fall.
I just fear when Mike moves to New York to replace Regis, I just feel like that's the death knell for Kelly's marriage.
He may be
replacing
more than Regis.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe replacing Mark too.
Yep, that's what she said on the show.
I swear to God, I will mount you right now.
And that seemed a little forward.
And that was during the Blizzard Blast game.
Just after the Crazy Hat segment.
Blizzard Blast. F that show. Seriously. I'm going to spin the wheel and give a vacation to someone in the Blizzard Blast.
Yeah,
and fake snow falls from the ceiling.
That's what I'm saying.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Dwayne the Dog Chapman.
Yeah!
Celebrates his birthday. He's 58 years old today. Did I ever tell you my Dwayne the Dog Chapman story? Or I was at a wedding that he was also attending?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
What happened?
Dwayne the Dog Chapman was at the same wedding I was. And...
Did he ask if he had any meth?
He didn't. Mm. But I do know for a fact that he was wearing a sleeveless tuxedo. He had a tuxedo on with the sleeves ripped off.
You can't harness the guns, man.
You can't, especially in the dog's case. And he had his handcuffs hanging off his belt.
Just in case.
He spotted a fugitive there at the ceremony. He could whip out his
cuffs. Maybe he was only there because of someone he was tracking.
Perhaps he was. He was not incognito, if that's the case, in his sleeveless tuxedo with his bare arms hanging out of the tuxedo. It looked like a sketch.
That's so funny.
Model Christie Brinkley celebrates her 57th birthday today. Right. Let me tell you something about 57 and Christie Brinkley. Unbelievable.
It's
unbelievable. She is truly a genetic freak. How can you be 57 and look that good still? Still.
Yeah, that's not right.
She's not going on the ranch. She's not going on the breeding ranch. No. I'll make her queen of the ranch. Give her a cattle prod. Mark DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots. Nope, Robert DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots is 45 years old today. And Shakira. Shakira celebrates her 34th birthday.
She's hot. Don't make a joke about her hips.
What? How dare you, sir? Like I would ever do that. I would never joke about her hips. Because they're always honest. That's what I like about her hips. Her hips don't lie.
Wow.
I'm Ralph Garman. I want to show this beat.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9 minutes after 6.
You're watching KBC.
All right, it's time for free stuff for you. We're cleaning out the closets here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Everything must go. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Every day this week, we have been giving away stuff that has accumulated, wouldn't you say, Ralph, mostly promotional materials that come into the show, right?
Oh, yeah. We've got crap of all different kinds. We've got office supply crap. We've got crap that movie and music companies send us trying to promote their lame-ass projects. We've got personal things, things we've had on our desks and stuff in that office that we've collected over the years that we're decided to get rid of because there's just no use for it anymore. So it's a cornucopia of crap.
We had to go through everything, and we were surprised. We were like, what is this? Where did this come from? Why do we still have this?
It's the kind of procedure you go through when you move.
Right.
And that's what we're doing. We're expanding our office space to a larger area, so we had to go through everything and you find stuff. But you know, when you move, you go through your closet and you go, "Why am I still holding on to these leg warmers?"
Sure.
You know, why do I have a baseball cap, a pink baseball cap, stuff like that? You just don't need it anymore.
All right. So 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll free number. Now, the way this is going to work is we're going to go to you on the phone, like Jeremy, who's on line one right now. We go to Jeremy and he doesn't really have to do anything. We just spin the wheel and we give him free crap because this is, after all, KBC.
You're watching KBC.
All right, Jeremy, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You excited about free crap?
Yeah, sure am.
All right.
Let's see what you won.
Good luck, man. Better not be the pimp cup.
Oh, Jeremy, did you see the recent movie Faster with Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, neither did we. No one did. But if you ever run into The Rock, you'll be able to say, "Hey, look at my Faster wristwatches." That's right. These are a pair of Faster wristwatches. If you show Dwayne The Rock Johnson your Faster wristwatches, he'll probably share his steroids with you. Wear them both at the same time. Put one on each wrist just in case your friends don't already think you're a massive tool. Congratulations, Jeremy.
Thanks a lot.
These watches just literally run too fast. That's it. That's all.
They don't run fast. I think they run fine.
I think they're faster than usual. That's their promotional gimmick.
No, they look like speedometers.
It just says faster?
It's speedometer, and it says faster on it.
Like it matters. All right, Jeremy, hold on for that fantastic prize.
Even crappier than usual if they ran fast, if they were watches that didn't even
run. That's what
well.
I thought they did. All right.
By the way, as we've been doing this contest this week and the giveaways this week, have people been staying on the line to get free crap? They
everyone,
do want
everyone.
It.
Okay.
We thought they might just hang up.
Yeah,
because
this is funny. Click.
Yeah.
No, they're waiting. For their crappy prize.
Let's go to Gabriel. Hello.
Hello.
Gabriel, right. You ready to see what you've won?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Good
spin
luck.
The wheel of premium items. Or crap.
Oh, this one has a personal connection with me, Gabriel. Are you a fan of NFL players who used to be good but are now struggling and no longer play for the team that made them famous? Well, then you're in luck, Gabriel, because you've just won yourself a stately 8-inch cardboard standee of Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
All right.
Resplendent in his Eagles uniform, he will be the perfect complement for any decor in your home. Makes a great centerpiece in your master bedroom just as easily as it works jammed under the leg of a table to keep it from wobbling. Congratulations on your Donovan McNabb standee.
Thank you, guys.
You're
yes,
very welcome.
Good luck.
It's far outdated, well before Gabriel ever picks it up, by the way. It's
absolutely.
Already completely out of fashion.
It is useless. It is meaningless.
All right. Richard, line three, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show for KBC, cleaning out the offices. Hi, Richard. How are you, man?
Hey, good. How are you?
Hey, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Or did you say good on you? Are you in Australia?
Good on you.
All right. Good on you. Let's see what you've won, Richard. Oh, this one has a personal connection to Dave, the King of Mexico.
Oh, all right.
It's time for you to step up, Richard. Step up to Step Up 3D in this battery-operated fan. It's a battery-operated fan, thanks to the people at Step Up 3D. Not only is it a fan, but it also has programmable laser letters that spell out a message on the fan blades.
All right.
Have you seen that as it spins? You can read letters? Yeah.
Not only will this be the perfect gift to your old aunt who's going through the change, Richard, but now with these programmable letters, you can wish Aunt Sophie a happy menopause.
Ralph, I know it's already a premium item. Who wouldn't want a Step Up 3D fan? But could we get Dave, the King of Mexico, to autograph it in some way since he was in the movie?
He's offered.
Oh, you get the autograph of the star of the movie, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's already said he'll do that.
He's offered. We told him it wasn't necessary. But Richard can decide, yeah.
Thank you for the call. Let's take one more. Let's take Jenna on line five. Let's get a lady in the mix here and give away our final prize for today for KBC.
Hey, Jenna.
Hi.
Hi, Jenna.
No.
You're watching KBC. Here's, let's see what you won, Jen. This is very exciting.
Hope you get something good.
Oh, one of our favorites around here. Jenna, will we stop offering great values here on KBC when pigs ski? That's right. You have won a skiing pig piggy bank. Now, come Jenna, on. You can sock away those pennies for a snowy day with this skiing piggy bank.
Fantastic.
Guaranteed to help you save money and to give your young children horrible nightmares.
Okay.
Now, the last one was a promotional item for Step Up 3D. What was the skiing pig piggy bank?
This was a gift to us from a listener.
I think
it was one of our Miss Double December contestants, actually. She was a banker. She worked at a bank, and so when she came in here to do her interview, she said, I brought this as a gift for you guys because I'm in banking. This is something for you to save your pennies in.
And it's a pig that
skis. It's a pig on skis, and it's hideously ugly and guaranteed to give you horrible nightmares if you put it on your shelf in your bedroom.
Not that we don't appreciate the effort from the Miss Double E contestant. We just no longer have room for it.
Everything's got to go. That's everything's right. Got to go.
That's true.
We stock them deep. We sell them cheap.
You're watching Jenna, KBC. Thank you for listening. Congratulations. Thanks for calling, too.
Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. Hilarious, hilarious stuff in this week's Internet Roundup. That's coming up in next hour. Also, This Week in Rage with Adam Carolla. By the way, we have to ask about this. Adam Carolla did some sort of a Ustream broadcast last night.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Apparently overloaded the servers. Apparently broke Ustream. Now, how is that possible? Don't they do like, hey, we're simulcasting a Muse concert for Madison Square Garden? Don't they do stuff like that on Ustream all the time?
I think occasionally, but most of the time it's just individuals.
How did he break the Internet? What's up with that? So we'll find out what's going on with the Ace Man next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Actually, I have four for you today. They're very short stories, but four Citizens of the Day. This is so that you can look at your own life and go, I don't have it. I'm not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that girl. So at least I got that going for me. Police were called to the home of a man around 3:30 a.m. Friday after an exotic dancer refused to provide a refund. Sasha Siganoff was the dancer's name. And I guess you can call the escort and have him come over to your house and give you a lap dance.
Mm-hmm.
And he was unsatisfied with the lap dance, so he asked for a refund. And then she said no. And then she had a driver in a car waiting, so she went outside, and then he went out with a crowbar to try and stop him because he wanted a refund. And then he called 911 and said, I have a dancer that gave me a lap dance, and I want a refund, and she won't give it to me.
I'm still horny.
Yes.
What's up? Now, is this illegal? Like you have somebody come over your house and dance and there's no sex? Because in that case, he's got a legitimate consumer complaint for a legal product. I can see why he would be dissatisfied.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not legal for them to give you sex. So he could be dissatisfied all he wants, but you can't demand sex by calling 911.
And that's what you think happened here.
Yeah.
He was looking for more.
She didn't unzip my pants, and that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
And 911's not going to help you.
Probably not.
No.
Here's a woman, Keturah Petty, and her sister were caught trying to steal $271 worth of computer software from an Ohio Walmart. And apparently police ended up having to take Keturah to the hospital rather than to jail because she went into labor while inside the Walmart trying to rob it.
Well, I got to applaud a woman who works right up until the last possible day.
She went into labor.
So, a lot of ladies are like, oh, I'm 8 months pregnant. I can't work anymore. Not Keturah, man. She's still out there hustling.
Her sister's like, we got to go. I can't. My water broke.
that's
bad. The headline here, tell me if you would read this. Man arrested with 18-inch sex toy in pants.
Oh, yeah.
This comes out of Louisville, Kentucky. A Louisville man is facing public intoxication charges. So here's the thing. If you're going to drink and you're going to drink a lot, don't draw attention to yourself. Just try to fly under the radar so that nobody knows that you're that drunk. He was walking down South 3rd Street in Louisville, and according to arrest records, a police officer saw him walking with a large bulge coming from the waistband of his pants around 1:20.
Mm-hmm.
He was also shouting obscenities and saying that everyone was going to die and that he was a Wolverine.
Okay, maybe now don't call so much attention to yourself when you're stealing sex toys.
So then the officer patted him down because he saw the... and it was an 18-inch sex toy.
It's impressive.
A foot and a half. Psycho Mike, I have to ask you and your friends, that's overkill, right? That's more than anyone needs.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can only handle so much before it goes from being fun to, you know.
Surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not double. I would say that's under double digits.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a real veteran, you know, so sure. I can go for the foot long, but the $5 foot long is the maximum.
Sure, of course. And finally, this dude is priceless in Morton, Pennsylvania. Do you have the out ready to go here, Mike? Because we're almost done. Police have issued an arrest warrant for a man charged with stealing 5 leather coats from a store named Kohl's. And he took the coats and he ran.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realized that he had a 2-year-old in a stroller that he left in the store.
Oh.
So he took the coats and ran away, and they couldn't find him. They didn't know who he was. But the security guard just called the police, and then they just sat and waited with the 2-year-old for him to go, oh, my God, I forgot my kid.
Damn it, I left the baby back behind.
And so he had to go back.
Oh, that's awesome.
To get the kid, and they arrested him.
Sure they did.
And called the mom and sent to get home with the mom.
Oh, so something shiny. He saw something shiny, just like you, Kevin.
I've never forgotten my kid in a store while robbing. That's a bad precedent.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
By the way, always lots of reasons for you to check out kevinandbean.com. Dave puts up a picture every day. We got podcasts on there, all sorts of interesting articles. And Kevin, you have an ongoing series right now in celebration of the big game. Am I right?
Yeah, we're not allowed to say the words that rhyme with schmooper and schmoll because of the lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm taking a look at the sexiest commercials that have aired during past schmooper schmolls.
I see. Okay.
So those, we're on number 3 today, and then tomorrow will be number 2, and Friday will be number 1. So they're all pretty good commercials, if I might say so myself.
Definitely check those out. Now, we can't say the SB word because we're directing you to kevinandbean.com, but now we can say it because we're talking about a news story, and this is for reals. There are hundreds of ways to bet on the Super Bowl this weekend. This is how far the breakdowns are. And people love to gamble, and it makes everything more fun when you gamble, let's face it. It's not enough just to gamble on who's going to score first or what the final score is going to be or who's going to win.
And
right?
Everybody has those the squares that you just pick randomly. And if the score adds up to that number at the end of the first quarter, somebody wins. Second quarter, somebody wins. That kind of stuff is old hat.
This is where we're at now, and I'm just going to give you one example. Christina Aguilera, God bless her, is singing the national anthem, okay? You can go to sports betting sites, and you can take the over or under on the length of the national anthem, which, by the way, the cutoff is a minute 53. Is it going to be longer than a minute 53 or shorter than a minute 53? That's one of the bets that you can make.
See, I would guess on that one that she's going to really ham it up because it's the Super Bowl and it's in front of all those people. I'll bet that I would take the over on that.
But she also, she's such an accomplished singer and her vocal power is so well known. She doesn't need to show off like
that
either.
But she will.
She's also a professional. I don't know. I mean, that's why it's a great bet.
All right.
Will she wear a microphone or a headset? That's also something that you can wager
on.
What will she wear, for instance? I mean, it's everything from a star-spangled bikini to booty shorts. All right? I mean, it's crazy. It just goes on and on and on with all the different things. And that's just for the anthem. That doesn't even have anything to do with the play on the field. Yep. It just shows you how many prop bets are available.
Then you can take the coin flip and all that kind of stuff.
Right, exactly. Whatever, so we thought we'd find out more about this. And we have the CEO of InternationalSportsbook.com on the line. Mr. Max Chevarelli is joining us from Las Vegas. Hey, Max, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How are you doing, Kevin and Bean? How are you?
We're very good. How are you today?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
That's great. How are you guys
How are you? We're good.
We're still fine.
All right.
Good. We're good, Max. So Las Vegas, of course, is busy every week, but especially this week with the Super Bowl coming up. You guys just must be going crazy with all these wagers.
I tell you, it's an amazing time to be in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Being in Vegas on a Super Bowl, well, it's just a Super Bowl of sporting events for us. It really is.
Right.
Right. Well, it's the Super Bowl of the Super Bowl, too.
That's true.
So are you down with what we were just discussing about these prop bets that you can make for the national anthem and everything else surrounding the game this Sunday?
Absolutely. We like to feel at ISB that we're one of the preeminent booking websites that take all of the prop bets. We've got so many prop bets. We have more prop bets than we have regular bets because people love the proposition bets.
All right. What kind of stuff do you have?
Well, we got all the ones you were talking about. We got the length of national anthem.
Okay.
We got the coin flip, of course, very popular. Which team will kick off? People
sure.
love that one.
Sure.
Other ones we offer this year, the over-under on how many times Brett Favre's name will be brought up in the pre-game broadcast before Aaron Rodgers snaps and punches Pam Oliver in the boot.
That's very specific. So if he hits her in the head, you don't get the payout.
No,
if
you don't
pick
get the
boob.
We got the head as well, but we're picking boob. You have to pick which boob.
And oh, wow.
The over-under on Brett Favre mentions, even though he's been... he hasn't played for the Packers in a number of years, and he's not involved in the Super Bowl. His name will be brought up 9 times is the line.
I would go way over on that one. I'd go way
well,
take
then you
over.
Well, you should go to Las Vegas
All right.
and bet then, Kevin.
You lay a little money down there, Kevin.
All right.
Another bet we have is you have to pick which quarter of the Super Bowl Al Davis will die in.
Oh, oh wow.
Then you have to pick the quarter in which he will come back from the dead.
Oh.
As so he has so many times.
So many times. If you say the first time, the first quarter he's dead, then by the third quarter, there's an excellent chance he'll be back again on
okay.
that walker looking around like the crypt keeper.
Right.
We also have a bet is the number of women in the stadium that Ben Roethlisberger will sexually assault during the game.
During the game?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. During the game.
That's 17 is the over-under
17.
On that. You got to pick.
All right.
Now, Max, you don't think he's going to be busy, oh, I don't know, quarterbacking for the Steelers during the game?
I get a sense Ben always makes time for rape.
When they're, oh, wow. When they're on offense, but, you know, the defense is on the field a good amount of time.
That's true.
So he's got some
keep in
time.
Mind, it's close cheerleaders. So that's
oh,
it.
Yeah.
17 is the over-under.
Okay,
easy
17.
Access. Okay.
Right.
You also have to pick which quarter John Madden will drunkenly stumble onto the field with his pants around his ankles humping a turducken.
Oh, that would be the best.
So far, the easy money's on the third.
Third, okay.
Because he should be good right? and drunk by the third quarter, we're guessing.
All right.
And also, this is a very popular proposition bet. You have to pick what point into the halftime show that Fergie will pee herself.
Oh, yeah, that's likely to happen. You're right.
We got 3 minutes, 11 seconds is the over-under there, so you're going to try to find which kind. I'm laying a lot of money on the under, so I'm sending her a case of Diet Snapple to her dressing room.
Oh, wow, that's a good idea.
Got some Florence and the Machine coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Blink 182, Linkin Park, and we'll go back a ways with Beck next after the top of the hour. Now, Ralph is here with the show Biz Beat and a little something to give away. What's going on, Ralph?
A little something. I've got tickets to the advanced screening of Cedar Rapids. This movie looks hilarious. It did. It opened at the Sundance Film Festival, and people there just loved it. It's being released on Friday, February the 11th, but if you'd like to go to the special advanced Kevin and Bean screening, on Thursday, February the 10th, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First 5 callers to get through. We'll get a pair of passes to see Cedar Rapids, starring Ed Helms, who you know from The Office. Plays the Nard Dog.
Yep.
He's funny. That. He's very funny. He was also in The Hangover, of course. John C. Reilly, another very, very funny gentleman, will be co-starring with him, and Anne Heche and Sigourney Weaver. Great cast. So you want to check it out, call now, 1-800-520-1067. Oh, the BBC's in trouble. Oh, are they in trouble?
Why?
Oh, they're in trouble, Kevin. Oh. They are in trouble.
What are they in trouble for?
You're familiar with their show Top Gear on the BBC?
Yes.
Probably the biggest,
car show.
Biggest hit, at least here in the States, on BBC America. Top Gear is one of their number one rated shows. Do you watch the BBC America much?
Some.
I love that station.
And they have a great Robin Hood.
They do. That series is awesome.
That's really good.
I watch Doctor Who on there all the time. I'm a big Doctor Who fan.
Hey.
Also, one of the best talk shows on television is not on American television. Mm. There's a show called The Graham Norton Show.
Oh, I've heard of it, but I don't watch
it. He is an Irish comedian, presenter, and he is the host of a talk show over there. And it is brilliantly done. First of all, he's very flamboyantly gay and funny.
Right.
And when he brings his guests out, he brings them all out at the same time and sits them on a couch. And he is able, I don't know how he does it, I watch it every week and I can't figure out how he does it, but he gets to all the things they're promoting and talks to all of them and makes them talk to each other, and it's like a big cocktail party. It is expertly orchestrated how he's able to get 3 or 4 big stars at the same time all talking and being funny and entertaining all at the same time.
I can't interview one person
exactly.
at a time.
Can you imagine?
No.
No, it's quite an impressive juggling act, that's for sure.
Yeah, he does a great job with that. Anyway, BBC has a series called Top Gear. And their host, Richard Hammond, is known as being a very irreverent, sort of funny guy.
Right.
And they were talking about, on the show, they were featuring a Mexican car.
Right.
And he said the car was lazy, feckless, and flatulent, and it mirrors Mexico's national characteristics.
Oh.
Well, Jesus. That may not go over big.
Wow. He had to be really specific, didn't he?
Turns out, the Mexican government is not thrilled with his characterization of their country as lazy, feckless, and flatulent.
You know what's funny is that's one of the groups that really doesn't complain all that much. So to offend them, you really sort of have to bring it.
And he did.
Yeah.
The Mexican ambassador to Britain has now called for an apology, calling the show's comments outrageous, vulgar, and inexcusable. And he is waiting to hear back from Britain as well as the BBC.
They just f***ed with the wrong Mexican.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's so ironic because the Mexican ambassador to Britain actually lives in one of those cars in London. Isn't that funny? It's not appropriate.
I don't think that's...
Not with me. That's why Elaine got so cheesed off.
I don't think that's true.
David Duchovny wants another shot at playing Fox Mulder.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, how about that?
I think I would watch another movie. Movie, right?
Yeah, he wants to do another feature film based on The X-Files. He says he is absolutely on board, and so is his co-star, Gillian Anderson. They would love to do another X-Files film. Now they just have to wait and see if 20th Century Fox would be interested in writing the check and producing another one. But he said that when there's a script and when they're ready, he said he's absolutely ready to jump back on board and play that character again. He enjoyed it so much.
Fantastic.
Have there been one movie or two?
Two. Ralph? Two. One was made during the series while it was still on the air.
That's right.
And then once the series was canceled, they came back and did another one. And he said he's willing to do a third. So, have to wait and see. Speaking of movies, Johnny Depp is attached to yet another project.
Tim Burton?
If you believe the reports. It seems like he would have to make all movies at the same time to be in everything they say he's going to be in.
Yeah, that's true. He's
doing this Dark Shadows vampire movie. They also say he's going to play Tonto in the Lone Ranger movie that's in production. He's finishing up Pirates of the Caribbean. He's always connected to some new project. Now they say Depp himself is interested in playing Elvis Presley on the big screen.
Johnny Depp.
He would like to play Elvis in the events that led up to his death in 1977. He'd like to play Elvis at the end of his career.
So it's Fat Elvis.
Fat Elvis. How could he do Fat Elvis?
How could he do Fat Elvis?
Look, I long ago gave up on trying to predict Johnny Depp because he's manages to be amazing in everything he does. No matter how crazy the role is, he's great in it.
He's one of those guys that could pull it off.
Yeah. If he says he can do it, he can do it.
I agree.
I like that he's picking Fat Elvis. That's going to be more interesting than skinny Elvis.
Yeah, that's the dark side of Elvis.
But I also think that's got a tremendous amount of dramatic tension as a movie, too.
Sure.
The decline of Elvis Presley, I think, is a fascinating story. So, yeah, I'd love to see that.
More movie news. Rumor had been going around for some time that Joseph Gordon-Levitt, star of Inception and 500 Days of Summer, was going to join the cast of The Dark Knight Rises, the third of the Batman trilogy by Christopher Nolan. Of course, they worked together famously in Inception. He was the director in that.
Yeah, I read that. I was happy to see that.
Looks like he will be joining the cast. No word on who he will play in the film, but rumor has it he will be playing yet another villain in the film by the name of Dr. Hugo Strange.
Dr. Hugo Strange.
Who's sort of a mad scientist that Batman battles from time to time. If that's the case, that would be the third villain in this one motion picture.
Hmm. Who else do they have so far?
They've got Anne Hathaway as Catwoman.
Right.
They've got Tom Hardy as Bane. Bane is the giant muscle-bound steroid case that Psycho Michael loves.
All right.
And then this would be the third, which seems a little crowded for me.
Airtight.
It would be airtight. It would. It would be airtight with too many villains. Kevin, you'll be very happy to know that Dallas is coming back to television.
Dallas, woo-hoo! Texas?
The TV series Dallas. J.R. Ewing.
From the early 80s?
Yeah.
Ewing.
Does anyone need that?
Who shot J.R.?
Ewing. The guy that used to play for the Knicks.
No, it's Patrick Ewing. It looks like Larry Hagman has signed on.
Oh, no. He has to be 150.
To come back to the reboot of Dallas.
What?
Patrick Duffy and Linda Gray have also signed on, so the whole cast is coming back to South Fork.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
I can't imagine that anyone does. This is a horrible idea.
This is bad.
Sure for a TV series.
And that was one of those shows that was I never watched it, but it was a place in time. It was about the greed and excess of the 80s, right?
Yes, it was, Bean. Once again, you have crystallized my thoughts perfectly.
That does not seem like good use of money.
Not in this economy when people are really struggling and no one has a job and, you know, they're all trying to get food on the table. You don't necessarily want to watch a bunch of rich oil barons in Dallas yuck it up.
That are now 100.
Well, they're going to add, other younger members of the cast. I'm sure their roles will be limited to, cameos, sort of a connection to the old series. Even people who liked the old series, yeah. I can't imagine would tune in to see a new one.
No. Well, very few of them are alive, the people who used to watch the show.
That's right. And everyone is talking about Rihanna's new video for her new single. Have you seen this video?
No.
Her S&M video?
It is... It's borderline pornography.
Fantastic.
It's out there.
For which song?
The single's called S&M. Oh. And the video...
I thought Bean was just describing the video. I didn't know he was saying the name.
Both.
No, both. It features Rihanna attacked by ball gag-wearing staff members of a news organization called Cox News. C-O-X.
Sure.
News.
Sure.
As a parody on Fox News. See?
Right.
And they're attacking her, and they tape her to a wall.
Yeah.
And they start to flog and spank her and throw things at her. Mm-hmm. Then she gets revenge on them by whipping reporters who have been duct taped to a mattress. Then she's seen walking Perez Hilton, who is dressed in a chauffeur's outfit on a leash. And then she whips him as he relieves himself on a fire hydrant.
Well, sounds sexy.
Then Rihanna is bound by her hands and feet, and she's found writhing on the floor, eating fruit erotically. Videos on the internet now. You can check it out if you'd like.
I have a clip from the video if you'd like to.
I'd love to hear. I haven't heard the new single. Here's a little piece of Rihanna's new single, S&M.
This is right from the video.
So you want it?
I want it.
Oh. You like that?
Yes.
Yes what?
Yes, mistress.
Oh. Yeah, it's pretty rough. Wow. Pretty rough stuff.
It's rough stuff.
People
are already complaining that it's not appropriate.
Here's the song.
We have the song.
You want S&M?
Oh, can I go?
I don't know how that's about S&M, but...
That's the best
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All!
There we go.
Look, anything that gets Paris Hilton tied up and gagged, I'm for, all right?
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Dwayne the Dog Chapman.
There it is.
He's 58 years old.
There what
Where's
is?
Where's all the excitement
What's there it is
from?
Mean?
You been waiting for this?
Yeah.
Now that's a dog.
Former model Christie Brinkley is 57 years old today. Former Mrs. Billy Joel, too. Remember when they were married?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, a story came out this week. Elton John said about his, and this is his quote, about his good friend and touring partner, Billy Joel. You know, they've toured together famously, the two piano tour or whatever, where they go out there and play together.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, Billy really needs to get into rehab. He's got a bad alcohol problem.
Oh, no.
Hey, friend and touring partner. Maybe so much volunteering information about my life. He said, we had to cancel so many shows because Billy Joel was drunk and just couldn't get on the stage.
Wow. Yeah.
I think that Elton, Mike, tell me if this sounds right, I think he feels like he has an obligation to speak up and be honest because he's in recovery himself.
Yeah, he does have an obligation to do something about it, but not go to the press first.
Yeah, maybe ring Billy's doorbell, stop in, have some coffee, and pull the guy aside and give him some advice.
The only way I would see Billy Joel is if he was smashed.
Drunk.
Yeah. I'd love to see that.
Robert DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots is 45 years old. And singer Shakira celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. How about that song?
Thank you, Asian guy from the Neptunes. Those beats are fresh.
And that brings us to our friend Daniel Tosh, who really does have just about the most entertaining half hour of television on the air these days. His show was good when it started. It is now great. Every week, I can't believe how funny that guy is.
Yeah, it is hard. If you haven't seen it yet, you've got to go back and watch all of the first season episodes as well.
You do.
Because
you do.
He basically takes clips from the internet, and he's super funny, and he does this thing called Web Redemption. I think it's on tonight, by the way. It's on Wednesday nights, right? He does on Comedy Central. He does this thing called Web Redemptions where a person that fails and then the video goes viral, he gives them another chance to make it right, to do it right. And in this particular one, you might remember, go to kevinandbean.com if you'd like to see it. We put it back up. But this is the dude who is singing and dancing in a street, in the middle of the street. And he's backing up, and the video guy is videoing him, and then he's backing up, and he's doing his little dance. And then he literally gets run over by an ice cream truck. The ice cream truck just steams into the screen and just knocks him the hell out.
Oh, man.
And I don't know how fast the ice cream truck was going, but it looked like a pretty busy residential street with traffic going by at a regular rate. I mean, it had to be 30, 35, 40 miles an hour,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, it hit the dude hard.
And how did he not, how was he not aware that that was a possibility? He was out in the middle of a street.
Yeah.
He's just goofing around, I guess, and just thought he had room, thought it was safe and was wrong, I guess.
So last week's Web Redemption, Daniel Tosh brings the guy out to Los Angeles and starts asking him some questions.
My first question is, how are you still alive?
I survived, man. I'm a strong man.
Seriously, how are you not dead?
It's because I'm overweight.
Is it? Mm-hmm. What were you doing?
It's because I'm overweight.
I was dancing.
Why were you dancing in the street?
I was doing a dance for my song and wanted to make it exciting and do it in the street.
Well, you're a rapper.
Yes.
What was the song you were singing?
I'm Jipper.
And what does I'm Jipper mean?
Now, he doesn't understand the words because it's a made-up word. So he says, and what does I'm Jipper mean? Mm-hmm. But what the guy is saying is, I'm Jipper. And here's how he came up with that.
It's a hybrid of crunk.
How'd you come up with the song?
I was just listening to the beat in the studio and had a lot of energy in it. And I took the word chipper and put a G in front of it.
That's how he did it. He took the word chipper.
All right.
And put a G in front of it.
But mm-hmm. he doesn't say why he did that.
No.
Or why there wasn't anybody in his camp to go stupid.
No. That happened. And that was a perfectly fine explanation for him. That was it. I mean, as far as he was concerned, everyone should understand that. It was awesome. So then Daniel starts talking about the accident.
Did you not hear the ice cream truck music playing?
I didn't hear it. He wasn't playing his music.
Technically, wasn't it your fault?
Okay, now here's the crux of the issue. Technically, it had to be this guy's fault. It wasn't a crosswalk.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the middle of the street during the middle of the day.
No, it's his fault. He's driving an ice cream truck. He's supposed to drive 5 miles an hour anyway.
That's a pretty good point. You're not going to get a lot of business speeding through a neighborhood.
How the kid's going to catch you?
That's exactly.
How the kid's going to catch you? That's a good question.
But again, he wasn't going through the part of the neighborhood, the sleepy part of the neighborhood, at a slow speed trying to bring kids out. He was obviously going past that neighborhood to go to another location.
It was a major road. It looked like it was two lanes each way.
Right. So he says it's the ice cream truck driver's fault because he was going too fast? Is that what he's alleging?
Here it comes.
What was the first thing he said to you?
I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Did you say, that's all right, everything's Jipper?
I just heard it.
So Daniel's now starting to play off the term, I'm Jipper. And this is the part that blows me away.
Did you sue anybody after this?
The guy that hit me.
Good for you. Nobody sues anymore.
Nobody sues anymore.
Yep, that's the problem in this country.
He sued the ice cream truck driver. Because he was in the street and he got hit.
It was 100% the pedestrian's fault for stepping out into the street. And by the way, they don't go into detail here, but what do you want to bet the insurance company for the ice cream truck gave this jipper a settlement?
Oh,
what do you
want to
bet they wrote him a check?
Yeah, just because
even though
cheaper.
He stepped out into the street. Yeah, it's better than going to court.
Who was filming?
One of the guys I was working with.
Did you sue him? For not giving you a heads up.
Not yet.
50 Cent was shot 9 times. Do you think getting hit by an ice cream truck gives you more street cred?
Oh, yeah. It's a truck.
It is a truck.
But it's the ice cream truck that makes it. It kind of brings the credit down.
It does.
That guy's pretty funny, by the way.
Yeah.
He's decently funny. But, yeah, so he, Daniel said, your best friend who's filming, you should sue him for not giving you a heads up that you're about to get hit by a giant truck. And he said he was thinking about that.
Uh-huh.
Now, Daniel Tosh gives him a chance to do the song and make a video. And Daniel Tosh is driving the ice cream truck in the video. And he's the guy who's going, hey, hey, in the background. And I present for you perhaps the worst song you've ever heard. I'm Jipper. Damn, that boy is Jipper.
Yeah.
So that's that song. He's got Pradas on his zipper. That's what he had to say so that he could come up with a rhyme for Jipper.
Mm-hmm. Why does everybody think they can sing and everybody think they can rap?
I don't know, but that's a very bad song. But Daniel Tosh is in the background going, bang, bang. And then, of course, he ends up the video by hitting him. It's one of the funniest shows on TV. You should watch it tonight on Comedy Central. And then finally,
I will not rest until I'm Jipper is the number one song in the world. And he gets an offer to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show. Let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen.
Let's get out there. Wednesdays on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Adam Carolla joins us. You can see him on stage at the Uptown Theater in Napa, California this Friday, Saturday night at the Nugget in Reno, then Friday, February 11th at the Borderline in Thousand Oaks. Tickets and details available at adamcarolla.com. And Ace Man, before we get into the weekend rage, I want some clarification on something you tweeted last night about how you broke the internet. What's going on with this new Ustream thing you're doing at night?
Well, we're now streaming the show live, so it's just pretty much like doing it like, well, I mean, we're trying to sort of establish the network, and I guess this is just the next step in that, and that we're doing a nightly show, and we're streaming it live.
And was this the first time that you streamed it?
Yeah.
And the internet broke.
Well, yeah, so broke, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
As we all know, those of us who have been around the business for a while, and Adam, I think you'll agree with me on this, there's nothing more exciting than watching a guy do a radio show, right?
Well, I mean, that's why traditionally all of the... I mean, we all grew up watching... Oh, no, wait, we were watching MASH.
Yeah, it was that's not, right. Yeah, we weren't watching family. Radio at all.
That's right. Yeah, I know. It's really like watching someone write a book.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
Why wait for it to come out? Yeah.
Go to adamcarolla.com to watch the very exciting radio show and, of course, listen to all the fabulous fine family of podcasts. Wednesday means it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, working with three and starting with three and going down to number one, which, by the way, is a doozy.
We were robbed of number one last week because of the phone.
You have it back. All right. And it is gained interest.
All right.
Look out,
can't
world.
Wait.
Number three, I know a lot of folks, speaking of the internet, they enjoy your show on the internet, and they're living all over this great land of ours, and some of them are socked in Boston and in Chicago. And they turn on the news, and they see the beautiful 80-degree weather we're having out here in Southern California, and they're thinking about moving out here. I would like to ask them not to. A, we already have an all-star collection of a-holes out here. We don't need to add to the Dream Team a-holes, so we'd like you to stay where you are. B, I have to remind all you folks that super high taxes, potholes everywhere, gangs roaming wild. And I just want to say this, and seriously think about this, and tell me if I'm right or wrong. Since we graffiti on everything, since it's on trees and wildlife, and you drive through the hills, you'll see graffiti on rocks.
Yeah, you'll get out of your car and see somebody graffitied it on the way to work.
Oh, you'll get tagged yourself. The point is this. I know right now you guys are socked in, and the snowplow has pushed those big white 10-foot snowbanks on each side of the road on the other end of your driveway. How long, if those were in L.A., before they got tagged? Just a big, white, blank billboard. Yeah, they're going to melt in 3 weeks, but who cares? They would definitely get tagged in L.A., right?
Yeah, no question.
So all you need to know is the snowbanks that you're trying to avoid would have gangbangers tagging them if you were out here and it was snowing. So here's my point. Stay where you are. The snow will thaw. The sun will come out, but the gangs will never go away from L.A. That's
right, good.
My point.
Good.
Here's an interesting observation I just had. I just thought of. It's heavy. But I was thinking, you know you're in a bad neighborhood. This is number two, by the way. Sorry.
Okay, number two.
You know you're in a horrible neighborhood when there's bars on all the windows of the houses. You ever drive through a real crappy
sure.
neighborhood? They always have the mm-hmm. bars all over the windows of houses. But none of the bars in the neighborhoods have windows. It's heavy. You have to think about
none of the bars.
No windows in the bars of the neighborhood, but bars on the windows of all the houses.
Am I an Inception right now? What's going on here, Adam?
It's heavy. I mean, it's, you have to think about it, but you show me a neighborhood with lots of bars on the houses,
right.
and I'll show you a neighborhood with bars that have no windows. Wow.
Okay,
now drink it in.
We're gonna. It's gonna take us. We're gonna have to sip that one in.
I'm just saying. You ever pass a non-nudie bar with no windows in it and think, "What the hell's going on in there?"
It's a little creepy. Yeah,
I want no part of what's going on in there.
All right.
And number one, this is again. I can't build this one up
this
enough.
Biggie.
I'm so impressed with myself on this one. The gays, they got themselves slang for everything.
Right.
And they're real wordsmiths, those folks. And they use, like I said, they got something for everything. And then they just go right to top and bottom. You a top or you a bottom.
Right.
It's crude, you know, if you think about it.
Sure.
There's nothing slick about it. There's nothing shiny about it. There's nothing expressive or artistic about it. It's just, are you a top or a bottom? I'm a bottom. Oh, good. I'm a top. This is awesome.
Okay.
I'm just saying, isn't it time we replace the super offensive and outdated top and bottom with tumbler and coaster.
Oh, wow. That's far classier.
You a tumbler or a coaster? I'm a coaster. Tumbler? Awesome. Well, let's pay the tab. Get out of here. My man's right down the street.
You know, that's a great idea, Adam, because a lot of the gays are far more sophisticated than the old terminology allows them to be.
And, you know, God forbid the son ends up going that direction. Do I really want to have to get into that conversation? He's a bottom. He's a coaster.
I like it. It does have a little more classy sound to it.
Yeah, or like he's in a doo-wop band or something. So for all the gays that are listening, from now on, Tumblr, coaster.
Tumblr and coaster.
All right. I got it.
I'd like to have our audience try that and then give us email us and let us know how that's going.
I think it's strong. Okay. Anything's got to be better than top and bottom.
Well, it's certainly it's not creative. I hear
you. Well, you're literally on top of the guy's bottom. I mean, come on. I think
we understand the terminology.
Okay.
Yeah, we got that. Okay. All right. Entertaining, but also educational and thought-provoking today.
Right.
Don't miss Adam Carolla on stage this weekend, Friday night in Napa at the Uptown Theater, Saturday night at the Nugget in Reno, and then Friday, February 11th at the Borderline in Thousand Oaks. All the details and tickets and podcasts and the Ustream video and more at adamcarolla.com. Ace, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Great.
Thank you, bye.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up after the top of the next hour, by the way, we are going to talk to journalist and author Sebastian Younger, and I guess filmmaker now, too, since he took a camera into Afghanistan and lived there for more than a year following the troops around in a documentary that is nominated for an Oscar called Restrepo. I heard the name Restrepo, and I thought it was going to be like a funny Italian cartoon mouse or something, but
yeah, no,
something much more serious than that.
Just the opposite.
Anyway, it's airing on the TV tonight. You'll have a chance to see it, and we'll talk to Sebastian about that coming up in about 25 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for another all-new edition of the Internet Roundup.
Yeehaw! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
One place where you can get all these videos. We put a bunch of them up. Some of them don't have audio, so we can't highlight them that way. One of them is the fans run onto the field at the Pro Bowl. I don't know if you've seen that. But they're like three or four guys, and they just run around on the field until they finally get caught. Like, they weren't just trying to run across the field. They wanted to stay on the field as long as they possibly could. It's very funny. Bathroom etiquette with Adam Carolla. Very funny.
He's got some excellent tips, by the way. I think, as is usually the case with the Ace Man, if people listened to what he had to say, the world would be a better place to live.
Olivia Munn, Maxim photo shoot.
Oh, yes. Oh, Daddy.
Don't say, oh, Daddy. Please don't ever say that again. I'm begging you. From the Jimmy Kimmel Show, who you know is our favorite late-night talk show host, Jersey Shore audio put to Dora the Explorer video. And it's very troubling. Because
not
it's,
for the kids.
It's Dora the Explorer, but it's the actual words and of Jersey Shore.
Oh, okay.
And it really fits well, and it's scary how well it fits. So that's some of the stuff that's up there. There's also the movie alphabet. This proves that people have too much time. They found people in movies saying each letter of the alphabet and edited them together.
Wow.
S
T
B
W
X
Y
Z.
It's crazy. They literally found every... I don't know why.
Why would somebody think of that, and then who on earth would dedicate themselves to finding all of that and editing it together for our enjoyment?
I don't know, but it's worth watching because it's really amazing.
I mean, it's like 45 seconds long. It had to take somebody 1,000 hours to do it though, right? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's probably the most time for the least payoff. That's true. The greatest putt-putt shot of all time is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen in my life.
Because it's the greatest putt-putt shot of all time.
Yeah, and you say that and you go, okay, so what? How good can it be? The guy must have just sunk a... No, it's in the water, and the guy's getting ready to try and hit it out of the water, and they're videotaping. When he swings at it, there's a blast of water that comes up from the... like a fountain.
Mm-hmm.
And the ball goes up on top of the fountain. And
on
now,
the plume.
And now the guys are all screaming, oh, this is crazy. And the guy hits it, and it bounces off the wall and goes in. It's really unbelievable. And then they go absolutely crazy.
It's a ghost ball.
No!
I mean, they really must have been drinking, but I would have gone that crazy as well, because when you see that, you'll go, there is no way that happened. That has to be special effects.
And by the way, what are the chances they would be filming that, too? Because
yes,
that's the type of shot you would never be able to explain to people what happened unless they saw it for themselves.
The next one is the awesomest action movie, and I know that it seems hard to believe, but it's 10 minutes long, and it's worth watching. I kept thinking, all right, I'm 3 minutes in. I get it. But then I watched for the next minute. It was amazing. And then I watched for the next minute, and there's, like, robots, and the stunt work is ridiculous. There's a guy between two cars, like, doing parkour. I mean, two trucks. Mm-hmm. And then a police car shoots through, and he lands on the hood of the police car, and it's just ridiculous, wow, stupid, entertaining, the most awesomest action movie of all time.
Магнита ведем на все спусковые крючки. Счастливого фестиваля огня, ребята!
All right. It's not in English, so that makes it more difficult, but it's certainly worth watching. It's very funny. You remember the fountain lady that was texting?
Sure.
We have a guy here named Trevor who did a remix of that.
She fell in the fountain. I fell in the fountain. Ooh-wee, baby, it looks like that kind of hurt. I was actually texting a friend of mine from my church.
Yeah, and then she came forward and she was going to sue everybody, and no one knew who she was until she came forward. She's an idiot.
Everything's better when it's auto-tuned.
It has to be, right? The Old Spice guy is back.
I've returned. And it's not because I forgot my jacket. Actually, my wildly exaggerated body muscle distribution makes creating such a garment an impossibility. As when all seamstresses see the correct fabric pattern to make a jacket that would fit my muscle body, they cry tears of both joy and total confusion until they pass out, but are delicately caught by their own memories of my heroically unmatched body.
Well, that's might funny. Be the Old Spice guy may actually even get more chicks than you if that's possible.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah, no question about that. I'm a huge Dexter fan. Dexter is a great, great show. And this is kind of a parody of Dexter.
Night, the place where my dark passenger thrives. That's the cool term I made up for my desire to kill people. And this is my inner monologue.
The new serial killer struck again.
The one that switches the victim's heads with their feet?
Yeah, the head-foot switcher.
That's a catchy name.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's very funny. It's about a minute long, and they go through pretty much, they explain the whole series that mm-hmm. way. And it's a funny parody. Let's see. There's What is the Internet? Now, this is the Today Show. I know it's hard to imagine life before the Internet. This is the Today Show in 1994. And Bryant Gumbel was the host, and they start out the conversation by, you know, when you say at kevinandbean.com?
Mm-hmm.
The at symbol, they hadn't seen that, and they didn't know what it was. And then they get into a conversation about what is the Internet? Can somebody please explain this to us? It's the most bizarre thing you've ever seen, and it was only
17 years ago.
That little mark with the A and then the ring around it?
At
case that you thought it was about.
Yeah. Oh.
But I've never heard it said. I'd only seen the mark, but never heard it said. And then it sounded stupid when I said it. Violence at NBC.
Well, what Allison should know. What do you
is
say
internet
that
anyway?
What is it?
Internet is that massive computer right. network. The one that's becoming really big now.
Yeah. And they talk for, I don't know, 2.5 minutes about what the internet is.
Yeah,
that's
and
so
I think
bizarre.
It's. I think you can electronically write to somebody, or it's computers that are somehow connected together. I don't fully get it. And by the way, it's easy to clown on it because they sound retarded now. But in 1994, as most civilians were just starting to hear about the internet, we all had the same questions. We were all like, how does this thing work and what could it possibly do?
But,
nobody predicted that it would be something you'd carry around in your pocket all the time.
But is there video of us doing that?
No, there's not.
We're talking about the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Find it at kevinandbean.com. All of these videos are here. And finally, Jimmy Kimmel's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship, which is very funny. He uses cartoons. He uses news stories. He uses Barack Obama. He uses whatever. And he beeps stuff that doesn't need to be beeped. They're not curse words. But they sound like curse words when he adds the beep to them.
It's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
The principal who made it possible wiped away tears when a student said, "F*** you, Miss Waters."
When you smell a taco, though, it smells a lot like c***. Tastes like c***, too.
Then at 9, watch Nancy Grace. 50 people in 50 days.
Here, come on, my butt.
I know that prison, and pretty good dicks, I gotta tell you.
So that's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship. You can find it all at kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bean, Internet Roundup.
All right, what are you saying? What are you mocking now? What's the problem?
I would like to nip this problem in the bud before it gets going.
Problem in the bud.
If you don't mind. Ralph, I don't know if you're listening in the last break for the Internet Roundup, but...
I did, yeah, sure.
This is what happened. Olivia Munn, Maxim photo shoot.
Oh, yes. Oh, daddy.
don't say, oh, daddy. Please don't ever say that again. I'm begging you.
You're with me on that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, daddy.
If you're a guy and you're even going that way, you say, oh, mommy.
Right.
You don't even go to, oh, daddy, unless you're with a big, hairy bear of a man and you're the twink, and then there's, you know, good times in the prison cell or whatever the name of the feature is you're starting
in.
Oh,
daddy.
The guy doesn't say, oh, daddy.
Ever, right?
Well, unless you're, you know, a gay fella, right. And that's how you roll, and that's fine.
And that's fine.
I was thinking about Olivia Munn saying it to me, though. That was what was going on there. That was the thought process in my head. So.
You're with me. Let's ban that, right?
Thought process.
Let's ban that from happening ever again. Can we do that?
Yes.
Oscar-nominated filmmaker Sebastian Younger from Restrepo joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, Ralph, is the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
I think the sequel, Godzilla versus Restrepo, is much better than, than the first one. Because that's when they really upped the ante.
Strong.
And then they added Rodan later on in the series. It was good stuff.
That's not
the out! Restrepo, he's coming! Ah! He's crushing Tokyo.
It's a
great sequence.
It's the same thing.
What?
No, very different.
All right, speaking of movies, Zach Galifianakis reportedly in negotiations to star in a new film with Ryan Reynolds called R.I.P.D. It's about the Rest in Peace Department. It's about recently slain cops. Form a police department.
You mean they're alive as ghosts?
Yeah.
I see.
And they're ghost cops.
Ghost cops.
Yeah.
Can they shoot? Do they shoot ghost bullets?
Ghost bullets.
I mean, how do they?
I'm not sure how this is all going to work.
Do they arrest people?
Some movie you think gets sold on the title. I think this was one of them. Yeah. You know those cop buddy films? How about R.I.P.D.? Is it like N.Y.P.D.? R.I.P.D. Rest in peace, D. R.I.P.D. Yes, then, green light.
Then you mentioned Zach Galifianakis and
Ryan Reynolds, and boom, you got yourself a movie.
All right.
Congratulations to those guys. Jennifer Aniston. Rumors this week have appeared on the internet that she is looking to adopt a baby from an orphanage in Tijuana, Mexico.
I wonder where she got that idea. Start adopting kids.
See.
I wonder if there's somebody in her life that maybe she would rather be.
You lost a husband to, maybe. It's low rent, though, if you're going to the Tijuana orphanage, really, isn't it? That's lazy. I mean, other people go to Namibia, and they go to Bangladesh, and
really
make the Nicaragua.
Make the effort.
Yeah, I mean, they're traveling around the world shopping for babies. If you're just hopping over the border to Tijuana, that's where you get fireworks.
You
don't go there to get a baby.
But it's also where you get your head cut off, so maybe it's more dangerous, so maybe that ups the ante.
Oh, so she's even a tougher mom?
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
All right,
maybe. That's what I'm saying.
But isn't it sad, and we've talked about poor Jennifer Aniston in the past, isn't it sad she can't get one man to impregnate her?
Psycho Mike is volunteering in the back of the room.
Okay.
For a lot of people. She can get a Mexican baby without having to travel there.
Volunteer.
Another day, another advertiser who's leaving Skins over there on MTV. Now, the other sponsors who have bailed on Skins due to the controversial nature of the program, I thought, no big deal. If General Motors drops, what 15-year-old MTV viewer is looking to buy a new Chrysler?
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? It's not a problem.
H&R Block. Like, who cares, right?
They don't have any money. They don't have a job. They're watching MTV and getting stoned. They don't need their taxes done. But this one may sting a bit. Proactive.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Acne medication. Proactive has announced they are not going to be sponsoring Skins any longer. Their commercials will not run during Skins.
Which is funny because they're jumping off of it just when now there's no controversy over the show anymore because no one's watching it.
Well, just in case. Our pal Kristen Bell in the news. She's joined the cast of the... Oh, Daddy. She's joined the new Showtime pilot, House of Lies. Comedy stars Don Cheadle as a cutthroat consultant who uses any means necessary to procure information for his clients.
To what?
Procure information for his clients.
He's great in everything.
Yes. Do we want to see a series about a cutthroat consultant who procures information for his clients?
Is he in it?
Yes.
Yes.
And looks like Kristen Bell's going to be in it, too.
And her, too, yes.
So?
So, yes.
Maybe we'll watch. if it gets past the pilot stage.
Oh, Daddy.
Speaking of watching, is everyone in this room, and please say yes, watching Southland over on TNT?
Yes.
Holy
for real.
God, is that show maybe the best drama on television right now? The past 2 weeks, last week's episode, don't even get me started, but last night, another brilliant, brilliant episode. It is a spectacular police drama.
Top notch.
It really is. Not since like the heyday of The Shield have I seen a show as compelling and as realistic and as disturbing as this show is. Great stuff over there.
It is great.
On Southland. But speaking of television, apparently the miniseries about the Kennedy family, the controversial miniseries that was dumped by the History Channel, has found a home.
Oh, in the United States?
Yes.
Oh.
The Reels Channel.
Don't know it.
For Reels, yo.
Rap channel?
No, it's Reels, R-E-E-L-Z. They're
movies.
A movie channel.
Okay, yeah.
They will be airing the 8-part miniseries starting April 3rd. So we'll get to see Greg Kinnear as John F. Kennedy and Katie Holmes as Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy Onassis. And this is much to the chagrin of the actual Kennedy family, but apparently it's really well done, so we'll get a chance to take a look.
I like it.
Yeah. I don't like it when an art is squashed by censorship.
I wouldn't have. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I had a granola bar.
You can't turn it on me.
I did have a granola bar.
I'm talking fine.
I'd like some water, please.
You're doing your own slurring.
What were you saying, Kevin, before you stopped?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dwayne the Dog Chapman is 50 years old today. Former model Christie Brinkley celebrates her 57th birthday. Robert DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots turns 45. And singer Shakira.
Oh, Daddy.
Celebrates her 34th birthday. That may be the most disturbing thing he's ever said. And that is really saying
something. That's saying
something,
yeah.
Wow. Oh, Daddy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show. Big night tonight over there on the National Geographic Channel. They are re-airing a movie called Restrepo. And by the way, you don't see this very much. Unedited, entirely, with limited commercial interruption, unbeeped, too. And if you've seen Restrepo, as you have, Kevin, you know that that's very rare to see that on the broadcast television. It is a documentary about a year in the life of soldiers on the ground in Afghanistan. And we couldn't be more excited to welcome Sebastian Younger, one of the filmmakers, to the program. Hey, Sebastian, thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, my pleasure.
First of all, explain the name Restrepo.
Restrepo was a platoon medic in 2nd Platoon of Battle Company, 173rd Airborne. They were in the Korangal Valley of eastern Afghanistan. I spent, my partner and I, Tim Hetherington, spent a total of 10 one-month trips with them. We alternated, usually.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The Restrepo was the medic. He was killed in a firefight in the second month of their deployment in July 07. And about a month later, the 2nd Platoon built an outpost on this little ridge, which they occupied for most of the next year, and they named it Restrepo in his honor.
And tell people about that valley and why that was such a crazy place to go.
It was very intense there. One-fifth of all the combat in all of Afghanistan was happening in the Korangal Valley, and the Korangal is only 6 miles long. That combat was being absorbed by the 150 men of Battle Company. And Tim and I wanted to shoot a documentary. We each carried a video camera. We wanted to make a documentary about what it's like to be a soldier in combat. And, you know, we're journalists. Ordinarily, we're journalists, and we cover the big picture. We cover the strategy and the politics of wars. In this case, we didn't want to do that. We wanted to document the reality, the lives of soldiers in very intense combat. And so we spent, as I said, a total of 10 one-month trips with those guys.
Hey, and what's remarkable about Restrepo, and congratulations on the Oscar nomination, by the way, is all the different choices that you made as a filmmaker. For instance, you know, you don't have interviews with the generals, for instance, about what the plan is. It's just like you're one of the soldiers. You see what they see and know what they see, and you don't really deviate from that. It's really like just being a fly on the wall for the whole year, right?
Yeah, you're trapped in their reality. You're trapped in the Korangal for 90 minutes, and there's no way to escape it. I mean, soldiers don't get to ask generals why they're in the Korangal Valley. They
Right.
just don't get to ask that question. And so in order to give you, the viewer, the illusion that you're in combat for 90 minutes, that you're with these guys for 90 minutes, you can't break form. I mean, you can't sort of cut to an interview with a general in an armchair. So we keep you there for 90 minutes. There are interviews with the soldiers we don't have a voiceover narration because we didn't even want that to intrude on the reality, you know, some sort of beautiful, deep male voice sort of explaining what's happening in the Coromandel Valley. You know, like that, all of a sudden you know as a viewer, you're not there. You're watching a movie. We didn't want that. So we have soldiers in interviews explaining what's happening, but otherwise it's all just the most real footage you can imagine. The first day out of Restrepo, the first day we got there, the outpost was attacked 4 times.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that they know before they go there, this is a place where you take, where you're in a fight every single day. Sebastian, just as a side note, is somebody auto-tuning your phone? Because it sounds a little strange.
Oh, well, you know, we have steam heat in the apartment, and the hissing might be the radiator that's trying to heat
all right.
the apartment just during awful weather. I'm sorry about
no,
that.
No, no, no worries.
No, no, it's actually pretty funny. It's like we were auto-tuning the news.
Sound
it was
cool.
Pretty crazy. One of the other choices that you made that I was frankly surprised about, because I've been a fan of your work for a long time. I've read your articles in Vanity Fair. I'm always excited when you're on the Bill Maher show. And I think I know, at least I pretend that I know a little bit about where you're coming from politically, yet this movie could not be more apolitical, and that really, really surprised me that you kind of went out of your, it seems like you and Tim, your partner in the film, went out of your way to say, this is the unvarnished reality, we're showing it, showing you what it is, and you kind of leave it up to the viewer to kind of put their own political implications on top of that. Am I way off base with that?
No, you're right. I mean, I think the best journalism is neutral, and I think as a journalist, as soon as you espouse an overt point of view, is you become an activist, and I mean that's fine. Activism is an important part of American society, American politics. But I'm a journalist, and I want to remain neutral, let my viewers come to their own conclusions. But also, there was another factor in this. We wanted to show what it's like to be a soldier. Soldiers don't talk about the broader strategy and politics of a war.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe during Vietnam they did, because there were a lot of draftees in Vietnam, so of course they discussed their government's decision to go to war. In this case, it's an all-volunteer army. The decision that put these men on, and it was all men out there, by the way, the decision that put these men on that hilltop was a personal decision to join the army. It was not something that their government did to them.
Sebastian, I know you have to go in a second. It's tonight, Wednesday, February 2nd at 8 o'clock Eastern and Pacific on Nat Geo. They're going to replay Restrepo, and you should totally watch it. Bean and I have both seen it, and it is amazing filmmaking. And I just wanted to ask one last question, and that is, I went to the extras to get the follow-up on these guys, and half of them went back, even though during the entire movie they spent the time counting the days to go home.
Yeah, I mean, they went home to Italy where their base is. Only one guy got out of the army voluntarily. Everyone else stayed in or re-upped. They did another deployment.
Voluntarily? They did it
voluntarily. Wow. They're soldiers. That's what they do.
I know, but but the entire movie, they're just trying to count down the days till they can leave.
Well, they
so
wanted
that's shocking.
To get back to the pleasures of Italy.
Yeah.
but after a year of that, they were ready for Afghanistan.
I got you.
Well, as a final P.S., we all have great respect for the men and women that serve around the world, but it'll be doubled if you see what these young men, average age about 25, is going through on the ground in Afghanistan and the conditions they have. No electricity, no running water, and the decisions that we force them to make. It's an unbelievable movie, and I wish you the best of luck at the Academy Awards coming up. It is called Restrepo. See it tonight on the Nat Geo channel. Or, of course, it's available on DVD or streaming through Netflix. Sebastian, thank you so much for your time on The Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Looking ahead on The Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, tomorrow, Dr. Drew Pinsky is going to be here. Not a doctor. Also, we'll talk to fighter Rich Franklin from the UFC about his upcoming battle with Forrest Griffin. And Friday, Psycho Mike, I don't know if you know about this yet, a young actress by the name of Minka Mother Effin'
Kelly.
We'll be on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Not in studio, right?
No, she's just on the phone, sadly. Also,
that's good news for Derek Jeter.
Also, because you're going to steal her away, were you?
Yeah, just like you did Kelly.
Andrea Siciliano will be on talking about the Super Bowl and actor, director, writer Kevin Smith. That's all Friday. All right, here's a news story.
Hold on just one.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
How dare you? What are you even suggesting? We're just talking about yogurt, Kevin. That's all. Here's the...
Due to mature subject matter, viewer discretion is advised.
Here's the story in case you missed it.
Well, good amazing. Evening. What was in the yogurt? A woman claims that she was duped into trying a yogurt sample that she believes contained a bodily fluid, and we are not talking saliva.
Yeah! I love how the woman was duped into trying it, by the way. And what he means is she was offered it for free.
The following is rated MALV. It contains strong language and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
All right, noted. Can we get back to the story
now? Sure.
All right.
Now police are investigating the grocery store worker who was handing out the yogurt samples. We must warn you, some of the subject matter of this story is on the mature side.
Covered.
We covered that.
This program contains adult content and is not meant for children.
Look, I don't know whether the brother did it or not, but I do know that he has massive, massive balls. If he would do that to yogurt.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
And then stand in a supermarket and hand it out free samples to the ladies. That's fantastic.
News 13's Krista Gutierrez is here with details.
And Jessica, police say the employee denies that he put anything in the yogurt, but he was arrested anyway last night because he was a wanted man. Two outstanding warrants. Detectives say he is now at the center of another investigation surrounding free samples of Greek yogurt that he was handing out last night.
A female is alleging that when she did taste it, she immediately spit it out, that it tasted like a bodily fluid.
Well, of course she spit it out, right? Like you do.
Wow. Police say around 9 last night, a woman who was shopping at Sunflower Market filed a complaint that the free yogurt tasted like sperm. After spitting it out, she told management and called police.
All right. So the gist, you get the
how
gist.
How many women do you know? And by the way, Bean said gist with a T. How many women do you know that would recognize that taste immediately?
Most,
I would think. Yeah.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Again, they're waiting for results from the lab. I don't know whether that's what happened or not, but it sure seems likely based on the reaction from the woman. And then we started thinking about, I mean, honestly, if you hear enough stories like this and the stories that we're about to invite you to call in with at 1-800-520-1067, you would never, ever, ever eat anything that has ever been touched by another human. You would grow all of your own food just to make sure that stuff like this didn't happen.
Here's the thing. Don't be an a-hole to people who prepare your food. That's what we're taking away from today. Now, this guy in the mall doesn't sound like that particular, you know, specialty. It sounded like he was just out there effing with people.
Right.
Right. But the poor woman who got the free yogurt sample, and no, that's not a euphemism, she wasn't being an a-hole. She was just wrong place, wrong time, and that's what happens.
You are
at the mercy of whoever is preparing and handling and handing you your food.
But I'm saying most of these stories start with someone being an a-hole to a waiter or waitress, and then things happen to their food. And then you eat it, and then it's not as good as you would like, or better than you thought, maybe.
And by the way, I think we can all agree on this. If that's happening to your food or any other bodily fluid is getting involved in your food, you'd rather just eat it and not know about it rather than eat it and find out about it later, right?
I'd rather know and then eat it.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
No. What I'm saying is every day when you send the intern out to Carl's Jr. And they pee on your French fries, you go ahead and eat them. You'd rather not know that they're peeing on your French fries, right? You'd rather blissfully ignorant of that because so that you can enjoy the food, right?
By the way, that's the name of my autobiography is Blissfully Ignorant.
Now, we're going to take your calls 1-800-520-1067.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
If you were working as a cook or a chef or a waiter or waitress, please do not tell us the name of the place. We don't want to get involved in that. We don't want to ruin anybody's reputation or anything like that. Just tell us what kind of a
fast
place
fast food
it was.
Restaurant.
Yeah.
Sit down restaurant, something like that.
And maybe, because a lot of these stories, I suspect, are not going to have anything to do with waiters and waitresses. Psycho Mike, for instance, you've left some treats for some of your friends, right?
He does that for all of his friends.
That particular special treat, only once, and there's only a couple food items. There was only a couple food items that were left in his refrigerator. He was a surf punk and he was a bum. He lived in Santa Barbara and he ditched us at a party the night before. So I was going to pay him back by adorning certain things in his house.
Right.
And like the doorknob and his pillow that he sleeps on.
All right.
And his bed. And then the toilet seat. And then we went into the refrigerator because we got bored. And we were there for like hours.
That's a full night.
I know. And then all I had left was the beers he had in there. And we had to work hard to make sure that we get the bottle cap back on so he wouldn't notice.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
At any point did your surf punk friend wake up and ask,
what was in the yogurt?
Because it sounds like that's what was happening.
He said, I bought Pilsners. Why do these taste like pale ale?
Warning. The following show features stunts performed by professionals or under the supervision of professionals. Accordingly, MTV and the producers must insist that no one attempt to recreate or reenact any stunt or activity performed on this show.
Right. These are professionals doing these things.
So. All right. We want to hear your terrible stories of what things ended up in food. Now, are we only looking for bodily fluids or going to be something else?
Oh, I think it's tampering with food in any way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would guess.
All right. And you can be anonymous if you want, and please don't mention the name of the place if you were working there. All right, 1-800-520-1067. This is going to be a lot of fun, and unfortunately, this is going to be one of those segments on the Kevin and Bean Show that you won't be able to unhear, and we're just warning you now. We'll take your calls next right after this. Here's the question we're asking you on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
What was in the yogurt?
Unfortunately, that's what we're asking.
You are listening to a radio show that is intended for adults and may feature conversations between adults about things adults do in the privacy of their own homes and sometimes in their cars. And if they're lucky, in a stairwell or an elevator. I mean, come on. Can a brother get him in an elevator? Parental discretion is advised.
Yes, it is. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We want to know how you've tampered with food to other people. And again, I'm warning you that you're going to regret listening to this segment, but you're not going to be able to turn away. Why don't we, let's start with Anthony. Anthony is on line 8, and this is one that we've heard about for years, and apparently this is the bartender's revenge. Hi, Anthony. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
Hey, guys. One time I put pretty much, customers pissing me off. I just straight up put Visine in his beer.
Visine in the beer.
He ran out of there after 20 minutes.
That is that makes you
It gives you instant diarrhea, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And by the way, that scares me how simple that is. And apparently, I guess you can put it in liquid and somebody won't taste it, and it just works that fast, and it's just you win, right?
You should try it today.
Pretty much, yeah.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Now, if we have any children, please step out. Right. This is a parental guidance moment.
Okay. Let's try Aaron, line 2. Aaron worked in a movie theater and joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Aaron. Thanks for holding on.
Customer who wanted the freshest popcorn, and he made me put my hand into the burning hot popping popcorn. I ended up cutting my hand open and saw it drip into his popcorn. I thought about throwing it out, but instead I just kind of, you know, put it to the bottom and put a little more popcorn.
So your blood was in his popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he ate it in the dark.
He wouldn't see it, but I mean, wow. That's the type of thing that it seems like he would notice because he would taste it, right?
Well, not if you're shoveling handfuls into your mouth.
And you got butter on it.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, well done, Aaron. I hope I come to your theater soon. By the way, another warning.
This program contains graphic images which may be disturbing to sensitive viewers. The people profiled all survive. Discretion is advised. If you have little children and you allow them to listen to the following conversation, you are a bad parent. A really bad parent. You are seriously f***ed up. You with your illegitimate kids and your bad judgment and whatnot.
All right, Mark on line 1 terrifies me. Please tell me what you told the phone screener isn't true.
Oh, no.
That's very true.
What'd you do, dude? No. Why?
At work, we have 3 different shifts. We work around the clock. I won't say what I do, but...
3 shifts around the clock. Firemen.
So anyway,
police.
Yeah.
Fireman.
I'm a fireman.
All right, go ahead.
Anyway, we have community food that everybody pays for, and then you have your personal food, which has your name on it.
Right.
And my Frosted Flakes said whenever I was off duty, the guys would just plow through them. And it's no big deal. You just pay for it and replace it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I got tired of it. Long and short, a friend of mine, he got hit by a stingray surfing, and he had a big baseball-sized lap of skin that we ended up fixing on a couple weeks later. So we took his lap of skin and cut it up,
nope.
And then we took my toenail clippings and we took pictures of it.
No.
And put it in the Frosted Flakes. So everybody on my shift knew not to eat the Frosted Flakes that had my name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Frosted Flakes disappeared. And then,
did anyone complain?
No, they plowed through it and nobody ever knew any difference.
Didn't
so a couple
know.
Months later, we had a union meeting and I took out the pictures of what was happening. And they, you could tell who was eating my Frosted Flakes. Those guys were turning green.
Oh, my God.
That's unbelievable.
But those shenanigans happen all the time.
That's the way to do it. That's what you want your firemen doing right there.
There's firehouse rules in the house that you just don't violate.
That's right.
Thank you very much for the call, Mark. Wow.
The following conversation may contain dialogue of a sexual nature, violence, or bestiality. It may also include content unsuitable for any human being, including talk of a dirty Sanchez, right. A hot Carl, a Cleveland steamer,
right.
Or a donkey punch.
Okay.
Parental discretion is advised.
None of that's going on here.
Let's take one more. Let's make it Randy. He's on line 7. He actually got arrested for tampering.
Whoa.
With food. Randy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, dude?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. I was about 18 years old when this happened, but I was going to a Christmas party at work, and as a prank, I was making some fudge and thought it'd be kind of funny to put some X-Lax in there. So I put 2 boxes of chocolate X-Lax into the fudge.
2 boxes?
And,
you wanted instant results.
I wanted to make sure it worked.
Yeah. And it did.
I told one guy not to eat the fudge. And I think he was the one that ratted me out.
Oh.
This one lady took it home to her family, and her husband was a detective for the police department.
Oops.
Okay, now I got to ask you this. Who were you, who were you handing this fudge out to? Who were you preparing it for?
I originally was trying to get my assistant manager back because he screwed me on my holiday schedule.
Okay.
So you brought it into your office. So these were coworkers. I got you.
He told me if I worked Christmas Eve until New Year's.
We don't care about any of that. So basically, the guy who he gets it taken home to him, he's in the police department, and he realizes, hey, there's something in the brownies, and he arranges for them to come and arrest you?
Yeah, actually, they called me down to be questioned. So I went down to the police department, and they put me in the room, not with the hot lights or anything. But they said, you want to tell us what's going on? I said, no, not really. So they took me in, and arrested me.
What did you get arrested for? What was the charge?
It's called tampering with food.
Tampering with food. And how did it end up? What happened?
The maximum sentence on it was 35 years, but I got a year and a half probation because every other case that was heard or that was tried for that charge, the person had died.
Oh my gosh.
Dude,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you look good. You look good in comparison.
Yeah, I was a choir boy there,
You were just letting people be regular, that's all.
Exactly.
Sure, you're doing them a favor. All right, so thank you very much for the call. The valuable lesson that we've learned here today is if you're going to tamper with food, kids, don't get caught.
That's correct. And don't make people mad that are giving you food as well.
Wacka, 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 wacka. Social D on 106.7.
Shred. Shred!
Hold on, he's almost done. All right.
There it is.
It's 8:54. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got some Sublime on the way. Also, Red Hot Chili Peppers and the Black Keys coming up. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Lots of stuff going on. The royal wedding's coming up, I don't know if you guys have heard or not.
Really? Because they don't talk about that much on TV now.
We don't need you, Kevin. Go back to whatever you were drinking out of your pimp cup.
How dare you? Kevin, you're not drinking out of the WWE pimp cup, are you? That's supposed to be a giveaway item.
It was supposed to be until I took it back.
Yeah, Kevin thinks he needs it.
I do.
Where were you? You weren't here when we started.
Playing foosball.
At least it was important.
Sorry.
He's got a tournament coming up, Ralph.
Sorry about that.
Royal wedding's coming up on April the 29th. And they're making more and more products, in case you want to play along in the home version of the game.
This is real?
Yeah. The Kate Middleton action figure has just been announced. You can get your own doll, the Royal Engagement doll, for just $29.95. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's 5 easy installments of $29.95. So $30 times. $130. $150.
Is it full size?
No, it is.
Realistic love openings?
No, it is a... A small, posable porcelain figure.
But
it includes a replica of the engagement ring, exactly like Prince William gave to his bride-to-be.
Oh, that's so cool.
You get
I want
cubic
that.
Zirconia replica. So
oh,
you got
wait,
that
no.
going for you.
That's
it's just
dumb.
$150. That's such a cheap ass, man.
I can't wait till this is over.
Let's all get one, shall we?
No.
Bean's favorite actress, Zsa Zsa Gabor, in the news. Zsa Zsa Gabor, for those of you who don't know, no one would blame you. She is like the original Paris Hilton. She was a celebrity for being a celebrity, basically, way back in the day. 1800s, I think, is when she first
Late 1800s,
famous.
Yes.
Her sister was an actress, at least. Was in a popular TV series called Green Acres. It was a sitcom on TV back in the 60s. But Zsa Zsa may have had one or two roles, but basically she was just famous for being famous.
Okay.
Anyway, she's been very sick. She's 94 years old. And at 94, they decided to amputate her leg.
Oh.
Because she had an infection. Oh. Now the news says that she's got the infection again.
Oh.
And now she's spitting up blood.
Yeah.
Let's, we don't need.
She doesn't recognize anyone, including her husband, Prince Frederick von Asshole.
Is that his name?
I'm sorry. Prince Frederick von Anhalt. I'm sorry.
Let's let her go.
At 94. She's been 90, she'll be 94.
I mean, I know
Sunday.
I'm not in the decision-making process for that particular story, but
seriously, there is an argument to be made for quality of life at some point.
It does sound like it's puppy lake time.
I just feel for this woman. No one knows who she is or cares, but just as on a basic human level, it just breaks your heart hearing the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's not participating in the adaptive snowballing at snowmobiling at the X Games at all, right? She decided to. She's bagging out on that. She's not.
Did you say snowballing?
He did at first.
And then I realized it's not called snowballing. That's called snowmobiling.
I think you're still hung up on the last break when you're talking about body fluid. Yeah. That's why you're hung up on.
They
the
should
snowballing.
Add snowball fighting to the Winter X Games.
That'd be awesome. That would be the best event ever.
That'd be cool. Then she could compete.
And then you get points on how many guys you hit, where you hit them, and how hard you hit them. Oh, that'd be the best.
All right, Becky, Ralph.
Natalie Portman's in trouble. A University of Toronto study has concluded that there is an actual Oscar curse. That Best Actress winners at the Oscars are doomed to get divorced.
Really?
It's a real curse. It actually happens. They have scientific evidence to back it up.
Please.
What please? It's science.
It's not science.
It is science. They've done the research.
Which category?
Best Actress.
Okay. Hilary Swank.
60% of all married Best Actress nominees end up getting divorced.
But did they test
60%,
all of them?
And they've done all the categories.
So they did Best Male
Supporting Actor, Supporting Actress, all the categories.
Less
than
that.
It is a huge difference in terms, in proportion of how many Best Actress nominees get divorced versus any other category in the Oscars.
That's shocking.
Since 1936, they did the study from 1936 to 2010.
First of all, who has the time to do that study?
And the University of Toronto, Kevin.
You should have said that, and then that would have helped the story.
The University of Toronto.
I'm just kidding.
I think it's winners that we're talking about here, not nominees. And the speculation, Ralph, I think, is that your career is now so much bigger, and the guys can't handle it. The guys now feel like they're slacking now because this powerful woman.
So if it's a guy, the wife can handle it better.
Exactly.
This is nice. I don't have to finish my stories. It's so nice that I don't have to because Bean just takes that weight off my shoulders by reporting the story.
When I take a breath,
he jumps in there and then just finishes it up for me. So
he knows every story. You know that.
It's so easy not to have to actually do anything.
I can just come in and
start a story and then Bean can finish it.
I thought we were having a discussion on the topic.
It's relaxing.
Sorry,
it's relaxing. That. It's like a vacation. Every day is like a vacation working with Bean.
Kids.
That's what I realized.
Just awful.
Mr. Know-It-All.
But Sandra Bullock, she won her Oscar, and she's still...
Today's celebrity birthdays. Dwayne the Dog Chapman is 58 years old today. There it is.
There it is.
There it is. There's the dog.
There it is.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
No one knows. But
now that's a dog.
Mike's been very excited about Dwayne Chapman's birthday all day. Model Christie Brinkley is 57 years old today. Bassist Robert DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots is 45 years old. And singer Shakira celebrates her 34th birthday.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
She is the hottest midget alive. Shakira.
Wow.
Hottest midget alive. No question.
You sure?
Not even close.
What about the bass player for Minikiss? He's pretty hot.
All right.
I beg to differ.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Well, this is the show that you read about when it was in Europe and you prayed that it would come to North America, and it is. Saturday, April 23rd at the Empire Polo Club in Indio, California. We're talking about the Big Four, Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Rick Astley, all on one stage.
Whoa,
for what?
I think it's Anthrax.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I totally got that wrong.
Anthrax.
We're giving away a four-pack of tickets right now, 1-800-520-1067, a game we like to call Big Four Loco.
All right, now it's the Big Four Loco. See if you could follow our brilliant logic. Because there are so many different styles of music where they do Metallica songs, that's what makes it loco. So, because it's crazy how many different styles of music there are.
That is crazy.
It's a Big Four, and we added loco.
I'm not
that's
tracking.
The brilliance that...
with that at all. But okay. I am saying we're giving away tickets, and if you are a Metallica fan, no Metallica music inside and out, you should be able to identify these Metallica songs played in different styles of music. So we'll take them in order, starting with Isaiah on line one. Hi, Isaiah. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Here's your song. It is in the style of string quartet. Good luck. All right. Metallica song is that?
No idea.
Oh, come on!
It did sound a lot like I'm your life. Oh. That was pretty close.
That was sad but true, dude.
Yeah,
sorry.
Thank you. All right. Let's go to Miguel. Hi, Miguel.
Morning, Kevin Bean. Lisa May.
Good morning.
Your music style is lullaby, so you would buy this for your little child. And they're doing a Metallica song. Tell us which one.
Okay, we know that it's terrible, but do we know what song they're doing in the lullaby style?
Oh, my God. Oh, my life is going to kill me.
Uh-oh.
Not Jesus. Got it. Black.
Got
what?
He said it just before the buzzer.
Yeah, I hit the buzzer because I thought he wasn't going to come up with any name, and then at the last second,
you got it right.
Oh, yeah.
You're in the draw. You're only in the drawing, but who thought you were even going to get there?
Nobody.
That's the original.
Wow. That's unbelievable. What a lucky guess. Well done, Miguel. All right, you're in the drawing. Let's see if Patrick can join you there on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Big Four Loco playing Metallica songs. Patrick, you ready to go?
Ready to go.
By the way, I don't know if we mentioned this is a 4-pack of tickets. All right, here we go. This is music done in Celtic style.
Right. That's the easiest one.
What Metallica song is that?
Oh,
you only get one guess.
I guess.
One is the name of the song, so I'm sorry you didn't get that.
Mike is a guitar player, and he's picking along with the song, both in the Celtic version and in the real version.
That's the reason I think that one's easy. The guitar part's
exactly the same.
All right, let's try, where are we up to? We up to Mike now on line 4?
We are up to Mike, yes. Hi, Mike.
How's it going?
It's going well. Bluegrass.
which is how I want to hear all my Metallica music.
I don't know why there's a bluegrass band that does a Metallica cover, but you just
ding,
have
ding,
to...
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, that's exactly right. You have to give us the title of the Metallica song that they're doing.
And with dust in the throat I crave, only knowledge will I say, to the game you stayed a slave.
All right, what song is that?
No, by wonder, wherever I may roam.
There you go.
Yep. He owned it.
That is
By
a
By the way,
one.
Hang on, Mike. You're in the drawing. All dudes, as far as I can tell.
Really?
Call him for this. Yeah.
For the big four?
Yeah, for Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax. Where are the chicks?
That's odd.
Brett, you are on the air, line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play Big Four Loco?
Let's do this.
All right. This is the last one. This is done in hip-hop.
All right.
Poorly.
Okay.
What's in your mind? It's messing your brain. Blinded by me, you can't see a thing. What? Just call my name, cause I hear you scream.
What? I don't know why that exists, but it is an unholy alliance. What do you think, dude?
Oh, man. Nothing.
Only one
matter?
Of the most... No, I'm sorry. I was going to say one of the most popular Metallica songs of all time. It was Master of Puppets.
Yeah.
All right, so it looks like we just got Miguel and Mike. The two of them are in the drawing to win a 4-pack of tickets April 23rd, Empire Polo Club in Indio. Lisa, who's our winner?
Miguel.
Mr. Lucky.
Yay!
A 4-pack of tickets, Miguel.
Yes!
Nicely done. Thanks for playing the Big Four Loco. Oh.
This is the Big Four Loco! Top 3.
Six is 34 square. It's a fight that always happens.